Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Christ Church. My name is Tony, and I am so excited to be here with you guys today. I'm filling in for Chet, who is still at home spending time with his family after the birth of baby girl number two. We are so excited for him and Allie and Emery as their family continues to grow. And I know we like to give each other a hard time, Jovan and Chet, but can we just brag on Chet for a little bit right now? He has been such an incredible leader for this church, and the last 2 years have been kind of up and down with the school. We got there, and then a couple months later, COVID, and we had to come back to this building here, and he has been just a solid leader for the church in general. He's been a good friend to me. He's been a great mentor, and I just want to give him some love. Chet, we love you. We are so grateful to have you. Church, tomorrow is Memorial Day, so I'm going to say a special prayer for our veterans and those who have fallen. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we live in such an incredible country with people who are willing to give their lives for our freedom, Lord. I pray that today, this weekend, we can remember those who have given their lives, made the ultimate sacrifice for this country. I pray that the veterans who are serving now would remain safe. They would remain blessed, Lord. And I pray that they would remain strong in the face of adversity through the trials that they meet while they're serving our country. Lord, I pray this message would be a blessing. I pray that it would be encouraging. And I pray that ultimately it would honor and glorify you. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So church, most of you know I'm in the National Guard. Chet is also in the National Guard. So Chet, thank you for your service, brother. We do very different things. Chet's a chaplain. I'm an infantryman. But no matter what, everybody in the military faces trials. I can promise you that, though they don't all look the same. In addition to that, I know that trials are not exclusive to military members only. I know a lot of you did not serve in the military, but you go through different trials. If you're anything like me, on a daily basis or maybe a weekly basis, so you're probably facing some sort of trial in your life right now. I know one thing is for certain. All of us will face trials if you haven't yet. I faced a lot of different trials while I was in the military, but I can be honest in saying that nothing that I did in the military prepared me for the trial that I was going to face after I got married to my wife, Ashley. So we did get married in 2017. We've known each other for a very long time. We went to high school together. We weren't dating the whole time. We reconnected more while I was on active duty, and then we didn't actually start dating until I left active duty in 2015. When we did get married in 2017, we were both 30. And at that point, we were like, let's have babies now. We're in our 30s already. It's time to go. We're ready. And we weren't like ready, but I don't know if anybody's ever really ready to have kids, so we just decided to pull the trigger anyway. For a long time, we were just doing stuff the old-fashioned way, just being newlyweds. And so we weren't really trying, per se, but we weren't not trying. We weren't not trying, if that makes sense. And shortly after, in 2018, Ashley got pregnant. And we were so excited. God had given us everything that we prayed for. And unfortunately, about 7 weeks in, she had a miscarriage. And, you know, honestly, we were devastated. That hurts a lot. But we know we serve an awesome God. So we tried to stay optimistic through it. And just a couple months later, she got pregnant again, and we were so excited, but this time with a little bit more stress and anxiety because of the first pregnancy, and unfortunately, she had another miscarriage, and this one hurt. This one was a little bit more devastating than the first one, for sure. Now, I know that story is filled with a lot of pain and suffering, and I want to try to focus on something a little bit more surface level today, and that is the trial that we faced of infertility after those losses. So those losses happened, and then about 2 years of nothing, basically, is what we got after that. We knew that we could get pregnant. We knew that we had a great desire to be parents, and we know that we serve an awesome and great God who blesses us in incredible ways. But for a long time, we tried and tried, and we saw nothing. And Trials like this, where we have expectations, happen to all of us. We expect something. We're hoping for something. We're traveling down a certain path, and we don't see any results at all. Maybe you're seeing walls like this right now in your life. Maybe in your marriage, you are not living up to your own standards as a spouse, or there's something getting in your way of being the best spouse you can. Or maybe you're a parent, and you are facing some sort of obstacle to be the best parent you can be. Or maybe you're an addict. Maybe you're addicted to something, and you might be clean now, but especially during COVID, you're facing some huge obstacles in your path to sobriety. Regardless of who you are or where you come from, I can assure you that you will face trials. But whatever path it is that you're on, I can also assure you that it is absolutely crucial that you push past the wall to get to what's on the other side. We've got some great scripture today that gives us some guidance on exactly how or why we should do this. And it comes from the book of James. Now, this book was written by the younger brother of Jesus Christ, and he was the son of Mary and Joseph. And James didn't begin following the teachings of Christ until after the resurrection. And I can imagine that if my older sibling tried to convince me that they were God, I wouldn't believe them either. I'm sure some of you have older siblings who maybe did try to convince you of that, but I feel like James is right, or was right. That would have been a struggle for me too. But if my older sibling then died and came back from the dead, I might be a little bit more convinced. Anyway, in the first chapter of the book, James addresses these trials pretty directly. And in verses 2-4, he says this: "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." First off, let me be very, very clear about something. I am not talking about suffering when I'm talking about trials. I don't think that's what James means. Now, I know that story I told had a lot of suffering in it, but like I said, I want to focus on the surface level stuff after the losses that we suffered and focus on the trial of the infertility specifically. So I'm definitely not telling you that you need to try to be happy through extreme suffering or pain. And I think, honestly, kind of think that's ridiculous to tell people who are suffering like that to just be happy with it or to find joy in it. I also don't think that's what James is telling us. What I do think he's telling us is that we should try to find joy in the obstacles that we face that are opportunities for growth, opportunities for development. James is telling us that there is something incredible on the other side of these trials that we're facing, and we should find joy in knowing that when we get to the other side, we can have it. Today, I really want to talk about some things that I think can help us push past that wall. The first thing I think we need to do is change our perspective. Now, we need to change the way we look at these obstacles that are in our way. James is specifically telling us to count it as joy. Count it all joy, my brothers, he says, when we fall into these trials. There is a man named Jocko Willink. A lot of you might be familiar with him. He is a big jiu-jitsu guy. He's a former Navy SEAL commander, and he has a great podcast. And I was watching a short video from one of his podcasts the other day, and the video is just titled Good. Now, what that means is, when people come to Jocko with a problem or they have a trial that they're facing, he always responds with the word good. And the video is like capital G-O-O-D. That's just what it's called, good. And the reason is he believes that something good can come out of even bad situations. For example, you didn't get the promotion that you wanted. Good. Now you have time to work harder and get better at the job that you're doing now. Or like I said, he's a big jiu-jitsu guy. You got tapped out in a match. Good. Now you can identify your weak areas so the same thing doesn't happen to you again. This is absolutely something I can see Chet doing. For any of you who know Chet or who have talked to him on a personal level, Chet is the kind of person who wants the best in people to come out. And I think that's an admirable quality for sure. Whenever I come to him with a question about maybe theology or work or something like that, he always says, "Well, what do you think?" And it drives me absolutely nuts. And I know what he's doing. He's trying to get me to figure out the answer for myself. Think more critically, think deeper about it. And it makes me work harder, which in turn helps me grow. I must say, though, that in the beginning, when I first started working with Chet, I used to get so annoyed when I come to him with a question and he would say, "What do you think?" Like, "Listen, bro, I came to you because I wanted an answer, not because I wanted to figure it out for myself." But the longer I work with Chet, the more I do this, the more I understand what he's trying to do. So I come to him because I have an obstacle in front of me, and what I want initially is for him to help lift me up over the wall. But what Chet wants to do is equip me better to get up over the wall myself so he doesn't have to help me. And I think that's really, really cool. So even if I get a little bit annoyed by it, I still understand exactly what he's doing. Now, I changed my perspective about this, and I think in the same way that I did that, we need to change our perspective about the walls standing in front of us. Instead of looking at it as an obstacle, we need to try to start viewing it as an opportunity. And I know it's easier to identify obstacles when we have a goal, when we're moving down a certain path. Ashley and I wanted to have babies. That was our path. No babies, that's a big obstacle in front of us, right? Sometimes it's not as easy to see the obstacles in our way. When we're just living our daily lives and these trials pop up, they don't necessarily look like an obstacle or an opportunity that can get us to a greater purpose. But regardless, I think we need to look at them the same way. Now, the next thing I think we need to do is make peace with the pressure. That's good, right? Make peace with the pressure. Now, trials create discomfort. There's no way around that. I'm not talking about pain and suffering, but I am talking about discomfort. And I'm going to tell you a little story about lobsters, right, real quick. Lobsters are a soft animal made of flesh, and they have a hard exoskeleton shell. Now, when a lobsters grow, they get bigger, but their shells don't get any bigger. So when they grow to the point where they become uncomfortable inside the shell that they have, they realize that it's time to shed the shell. So that discomfort that they're feeling is their signal that they need to grow. And unfortunately for us in society, we idolize comfort. I idolize comfort. I love lazy days. But unlike lobsters, you know, if I was the lobster, if I was in the lobster's case and I got uncomfortable like that, I get lazy, honestly. When I'm uncomfortable, I don't want to do anything. I kind of shut down a little bit. I know some people drink. That used to be my go-to. Just drink and drink and drink. And then if I'm drunk, I don't feel, right? But we self-medicate. And we all self-medicate in different ways. Some people do it in productive ways, honestly. I know some people like to exercise or run. But, you know, me personally, being a lazy bum and watching Netflix all day is not a productive thing to do. So when I get uncomfortable, that's what happens. And it's because I think we idolize comfort. We need to see these trials more like training, whether it is exercise or job training or military training. The trials are going to make us better. Let's take King David, for example. He's really familiar with this. King David fought Goliath, right? He killed the giant. But before that happened, we read in 1 Samuel that he actually fought a lion and a bear before he ever fought Goliath. And I think that's really incredible for a couple reasons, actually. You know, if he didn't have this opportunity to fight these animals, who knows if he would have succeeded against the giant. Also, the reason he had to fight a lion and a bear was because he was tending sheep, and the animals, the bear and the lion, came to try to take the sheep. And his response to that was to fight them and save his sheep. I don't think that I would have done the exact same thing in David's shoes. If I see a bear coming to take one of the sheep, well, we're down a sheep. When the boss comes to ask me what happened to the sheep, a bear took it. I'm not fighting a grizzly bear. Sorry, dude, take it out of my pay. But luckily, I haven't had to fight any bears or lions to get to where I'm at today, so pray for me that I don't run into any in North Ridgeville where we live. And that brings up a different point that we all respond to this discomfort, this pressure differently. Like I said, we maybe self-medicate or do something like that. But some people, they really find comfort, like Jocko, they find pleasure in the discomfort. Anybody like camping? I've been in the infantry for a long time. I've had to do a lot of camping, I guess, a lot of sleeping outside. And I'm more of the glamping type. If you know what glamping is, like I sleep inside, maybe on a bed, running water, toilet, stove. That's a little bit more of what I want to do now that I'm in my 30s. I know people who love to live off the land. They like to go stay out in the woods for a week at a time, like test to see how strong they are. And I'm not about that life. In sniper training specifically, you have to do something called a ghillie wash. Now, a ghillie suit, we got a picture of it. We're going to put a picture of it up. A ghillie suit is what a sniper wears to remain camouflaged in different environments, right? So a ghillie wash is basically an obstacle course where you crawl through like the nastiest stuff, mud, water, woods, whatever, and try to condition your ghillie suit. Now, there's a couple reasons for this. The first one is being a sniper is tough. It's grueling. Being a sniper, especially in a combat zone, you might find yourself in very, very difficult situations where you will need to have incredible physical and mental toughness. So crawling great distances through all this crap is super effective training, right? The second reason is the wear and tear that you go through on this ghillie wash makes your ghillie suit look more natural. Now, as you saw in that picture, it looks like a bunch of string. That's called jute. It's like nylon or something, cotton, like cloth strands. And they come like really man-made. You can tell they're really man-made. You crawl through the mud a couple times, and they start to look more natural. So the ghillie wash, even though it's absolutely miserable, has great purpose. One of the best things I think can come from these trials, specifically what James is talking about, is increased steadfastness, is the word he uses. Steadfastness is the ability to bear up in the face of difficulty, the ability to hold out when things get tough. Sophie Laws is a writer, and she refers to it as this, an active steadfastness in rather than a passive submission to circumstances. This means we are actively pushing through our trial instead of kind of hunkering down and just sitting in place. This goes back to the idea that we all respond differently. Some people, when things get tough, will quit. I've been that person before. Sometimes when things get tough, people thrive. They use the term clutch in baseball. When there's a lot of pressure, a clutch hitter will come through and hit a home run when it's the bottom of the ninth and all the pressure's on, right? When we change our perspective and start to make peace with the pressure of these trials, I think we respond to them or start to respond to them in a different way. The last and perhaps most important thing we need to do to get through these trials is understand the purpose. Now, one thing is always true about trials and obstacles like these. What's on the other side is much better than what we have where we're at now. When we talk about training, we know that training, even though it'll be uncomfortable, will always produce good results in us. It'll make us stronger. It'll increase our endurance. Ultimately, it'll get us closer to whatever our goal is. It's the same thing when it comes to the trials of our faith. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." That means that God has something so good for us on the other side of our walls. James says that these tests produce steadfastness, and that steadfastness, when it takes full effect, will make us perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. I think this means we'll continue to grow to meet the highest standard possible. I'm not talking about sin-free life, perfection like Jesus Christ, but being like Christ is ultimately what our goal is as Christians. And I will refer to that as spiritual maturity. These trials produce spiritual maturity, and that's what he's talking about when he says perfect and complete. We are getting closer. The more walls and trials that we overcome, the closer we get to God's purpose for us, to our calling. When Jocko had to face difficult trials and overcome them, it made him a better Navy SEAL, made him a better leader, it made him a better combat fighter. Eventually, he turned into a battle-hardened, tough-as-nails Navy SEAL commander who could lead his men through anything. King David probably didn't have a desire to fight a bear, but he did. When the opportunity presented itself, he fought the bear, And then he was more prepared to fight the giant Goliath when it came down to it. He was more confident. He was probably stronger. Maybe he used the tactics against the giant that he used against the bear. And now I'm not saying that David or Jocko are perfect or complete. What I am trying to say is that those obstacles that they faced helped develop them into who they are now. And I think it's the same way in the obstacles we face in our faith. We come to these walls in front of us, and they test our faith, which develop us into more Christ-like Christians. They make us more mature Christians and make us more like Christ than we were before. So kind of to sum that up, trials produce mature Christians, and we should all want to become more mature and more Christ-like. So what are some real-life applications we can do for all of this? I've told you all these other points. Now, this is kind of the meat and potatoes of the sermon. How can I apply this in my life? The first thing I think we can do, and this is not always easy, is to thank God for the trials. Pray and thank God for giving us these opportunities to grow. And it's not always easy because a lot of these trials don't seem like something we would enjoy. They might not come packaged exactly how we want them, but we need to, like I said, change our perspective and start thanking God for them. We also need to try to focus on asking God to make us tougher, asking God to make us stronger, instead of asking God to make our walls and obstacles smaller. Because I can promise you, church, they're going to be there. Some of these obstacles are going to be bigger than others. So I really want to encourage you to pray to God and ask Him to make you stronger to overcome the obstacles that you face. Next, we have to attack the pressure head on. I know I talked about how we self-medicate, how we try to numb ourselves to the discomfort, but we need to do a 180 of that. We need to do the opposite. Whereas when we face these trials, instead of kind of submitting to them, we need to attack them head on. Like an obstacle course, you come to the wall, you're going to climb it. That's what the purpose is, to get to the finish line, right? So we need to try to, in the face of this pressure, pray for strength and attack the discomfort, attack the trial head on so we can actively make it to the other side. So many times we respond to these trials by giving up. And Ashley and I, we struggled big time to persevere. It was a long time. We were about 2 years, and by the grace of God, Ashley is pregnant with twins right now, two little baby girls. But, you know, I don't want to say that that is the result of our trial. Over the last couple years, we have both grown. Our faith has grown stronger. We've grown closer to God. We've grown closer as a married couple. We going through that trial together, bearing that burden together, has made us a better couple, a stronger couple. And it really helped us see that God is always on time. And it's not always our time, I can promise you that, but He's never early and He's never late. He is always exactly on time. And I think those are the things that we learned from that trial. Now, she is pregnant, and that's incredible, and I'm so thankful for that. But I don't think that that was necessarily the reward for us persevering through that trial. Instead, it was all of that spiritual growth, all of that Christ-like development that we found that was the real reward for going through that trial. Lastly, we need to focus on Christ. And I think this might be the most important one, honestly. We all face walls. Jesus Christ faced the ultimate wall at the cross. He knew that that obstacle was standing between Him and His purpose, and He knew what it was going to be. He knew that it was going to be the hardest thing He ever had to do as a man, but He did it anyway, and He endured that for us. We will never face a wall as great as the wall that Jesus Christ faced, and because He defeated and overcame it, He'll help us defeat and overcome our obstacles too. He can shake the very foundation of the obstacles that are in front of you, and they will come tumbling down. when we felt like all hope was lost, we continued to lean on Jesus. We, in the beginning, it wasn't very easy. And then we kind of started growing closer to Jesus. And then the longer the trial lasted, it became a little bit more difficult. But we knew that it was the most important thing we could do in those moments. Hebrews, Jesus helped us through our trial, and he'll help you too. And it says in Hebrews 12:2, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Church, he has promised to walk with us through the trials. He walked with us through our trial. He'll walk with you through your trial. He'll be your strength and your rock as you overcome these obstacles in your life. But we need to focus on him. If we're only focused on the obstacle in front of us, but we lose sight of Christ, we'll never make it. A lot of these obstacles are too much for us to overcome by ourselves without the help of Christ. So we need to remain focused on him. Keep our eyes set on Christ. Only when we look to Jesus do we really have the endurance to stay the course and make it to the finish line. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for sending Jesus to endure the cross for us, Lord, for that obstacle that sent him to his purpose to die for our sins, Lord, and to save us for all eternity. God, I pray that when we face obstacles in front of us, that we would look to you, that we would remain strong, that we would change our perspective, that we would make peace with that pressure, Lord, and that we would understand the purpose, Lord, that these trials are not meant to break us down, but they're meant to build us up. Lord, I pray that we could view them as opportunities instead of obstacles. And Lord, I pray that as we continue to face these trials in our lives, that we would be able to remain focused on Christ, who is our strength through these trials. Lord, we love you. We are grateful for you. I pray that we would remain faithful in everything that we do, and that everything we do would honor and glorify you. I pray all this in Jesus' great name. Amen.